It is great to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. Appreciate all who have led in our worship today. It's been just outstanding. Had a great Bible class. Appreciate the song selection. Appreciate the way God's Word was read to us, the prayers that have been prayed, and certainly appreciate Bubba's challenge to us at the Lord's Supper. In our daily walks, I'm talking about physical walks now, we sometimes probably have a lot of time to think. You know, as crazy as it is, I like to cut grass. And I like to cut it with a push mower. Now, I don't have a very big yard. But the reason I like to do that is because it just gives me time to think. It gives me time to be in thoughts. It gives me time to reflect on who I am. It gives me time to decide if I need to change or do better. You know, and you might experience the same thing in your physical walks. Maybe you go to a gym and walk. Maybe you go in your neighborhood and you walk, wherever it may be. You have time to think and ponder. Well, when it comes to our spiritual walks, we always have to look, just like we're reflecting on maybe things we could do better in our everyday lives, in our spiritual walks, we've got to examine who we are. You know, that's biblical. God, through the inspiration, reminded us that we need to test ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at the man or woman in the mirror and see if we're doing things the way God wants us to do them. And so it led me to today, as we continue to talk about drawing near to God, I want us to think about our walks. I want us to think about our spiritual walks. You know, last week, we talking about the message of the cross should draw us near to God. We talked about Moses. We looked at Moses and the burning bush. How that drew Moses to him. It caught his eye. He heard the words. He was amazed at what he heard. And he ultimately did what God wanted him to do. Well, today as we talk about drawing near, I want us to think about the way we walk with God. Eli read to us from Hebrews 11, verse 5. You know that as the Hall of Fame of Faith, so to speak, of the Bible, that chapter of the Bible. There are so many men in that chapter. There's so many great things that happen in that chapter, so many leaders in that chapter, that we remind ourselves that's the type of faith we have to have. But about Enoch, it said that, I like the way Eli's version put it, he disappeared. One minute he was here, one minute he was gone. God took him. It's a very remarkable story, and we'll talk more about that. But you know what Enoch did? He walked with God. And so, as we walk with God, where do we want to end up? With God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, reads like this, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'm going to read it one more time. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If I were to ask you today, why do you go on a physical walk? I already talked about clearing our minds, right? Remember, in Romans 12, Paul talked about we need to transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. Sometimes in the everyday life, we come in with a lot, and I appreciate Bubba and others today and in other prayers they've prayed, talking about clearing our minds. Getting the work out of here, getting the things that may distract us out of here so that we can focus on worship to God. And so as I think about that, I think about that being a great benefit of walking. Maybe you need to clear something that's on your mind. But sometimes we just need to walk to get in shape, right? Sometimes we go to the doctor And they say, hey, you could use a little more exercise in your life. Maybe a little new diet too, but you need to pull away from some of those desserts and some of those big meals and all, because this is elevated, this is elevated. So how about this? Go on a walk every day. Well, that walk helps us to get in shape, helps us to get our heart beating and pumping the blood in such the way that it should. Or sometimes maybe you just go on a walk for enjoyment. Now, in the dog days of August, nobody enjoys that. But sometimes people just enjoy getting out and walking. Well, that's physical. How does that relate to spiritual? When it comes to walking with God, our minds need to be clear. Our hearts need to be clear. It needs to be God and me. It needs to be God and you. In order to do that, we've got to get rid of the distractions. Well, we talked about it physically helping us get in shape. Walking with God is the exercise we need spiritually. We need to work out with God. We need to work out any problems that we may have. We need to work out any struggles we may have. We need to work out the sin that may be bothering us or holding us back. That is working things out with God, getting in shape with God. And then lastly, we talked about it being enjoyment. You know, our Christian walk should not be burdensome. It should not be a burden to be here today. Again, I appreciate Bubba's words. I appreciate the challenge. I could go right along with that. I could preach a sermon right off of the things he said. But there's a hashtag, if you don't know what a hashtag is, that's okay. It's not important to the story, and you're probably better off. But that goes around talking about Sunday fun day. You know, somebody recently told me, I hate that phrase. You know, if the reality is this. What they mean by that most of the time is we skip God, we skip everything else, and we just go and have fun, do the things we enjoy. Well, I want you to understand the reason they do that is because they think worship is a burden. They think doing what God wants them to do is a burden. But I'm here to tell you, it's not a burden. You know why? Because Christ bears our burdens. So our walk today should be for enjoyment. It should be something we enjoy doing. So, what do we need to walk? How do we need to walk? Well, the first thing that when it comes to drawing near to God by walking with God, we need to understand is we need to walk by choice. The first man to be recorded as walking with God in the Bible was who Eli read to us about, Enoch. What do we know about this great man? Well, there's just a couple passages on Enoch in the whole Bible. The first one begins in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Here's how it reads. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. One day he's walking, one day God takes him home. That's just how it goes. He disappears, according to Hebrews 11, verse 5. Well, understand this. Enoch is listed as the sixth descendant of Adam in Genesis 5. You know why it's significant that Enoch is the first person that is recorded to walk with God? Because there was a lot of bad generations. I don't know about Adam and Eve. I'm not the judge, nor do I know how their story ends, really. But here's what I do know. It appears that it is a long time they go in hiding. You remember in the garden, we talked about that, how when they ate and they understood sin, they hid from God. Well, even though God helped calls them out and everything else and all of that, remember, it's Enosh being born before men start calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know how many generations that is, but it's a lot, I'm sure. I don't know how many years passed by. So in Genesis 5, there is a spiritual war, still a spiritual war going on. And the evil side of that's winning. There are a lot of factors that go into that. We don't have time to get into today. But there is a lot that goes on in those first few chapters. But finally, we get to a man who walks with God. He's the sixth descendant of Adam. If we do the math, it looks like Enoch was born 622 years after Adam and Eve were created. Now, Adam lived to be 930 years old. These are numbers we can't fathom, I understand. But remember, their job was to repopulate the earth, or to populate the earth after Noah's repopulated. But anyhow, that's why they lived so many generations. Remember, though, God later is going to limit 120 years as the lifespan. You don't see a lot of 125-year-olds walking around today. So that's just facts there for you. But in this day, Adam lived 930 years. Enoch, again, if you do the math, was 622 years after Adam and Eve were created. So it's likely that Enoch knew his great, 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 great grandfather, Adam. Think about that. Great, 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 great grandfather, Adam. A lot of you don't know who your great grandfather is. Probably because they may have gone on, much less to the fifth great, right? That's how it worked back then, though. 930 years, if he's 622 years, he could have known Adam. Why is that significant? He could have even learned about the creation of God from Adam and Eve themselves. Isn't that neat to think about? Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Wow. Wow. That's so simple but so powerful. Enoch walked with God 300 years. God takes him, meaning he doesn't taste death. He just transitions from a physical body to a spiritual body. Just like 1 Corinthians 15 teaches us, if Christ returns, same thing will happen to us if we're still alive on earth. But at the end of the day, you know what his testimony was? He pleased God. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how much status we have, how much power we have, how much authority we have. It matters, did we please God or not? Walking with God is a choice. It is a choice. And the choice is ours. Adam and Eve had a choice. Those generations after Adam and Eve had choices. Enoch had a choice. And he walked with God. In Genesis 5, 21 and 22, we learn that Enoch appears to have Methuselah when he was 65 years old. Those 65 years, it doesn't appear that Enoch walked with God. Because it says after that, for 300 years, he walked with God. So, what happened in those first 65? Did he have some bad information? Did he have some bad parents? Did he have some bad teachings that didn't happen? I don't know. But when he held Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old, by the way, when he held baby Methuselah in his arms, you know what he said? I got to get serious about this. I've got to make a choice. Do you realize if we had more fathers in this world that would get serious about their walk with God, we could change this world? That is not preacher talk. There are studies that have been done that talks about the significance of the way God designed it, men spiritually leading the homes. Men, if we are not spiritually leading the homes, step up. Get some guts about us. Let's change it. Let's make the choice to walk with God. Drawing near to God is a choice. Walking with God is a choice. No matter what age you are, he was 65 when he started. Let's make the choice. But also walking with God, we need to walk in obedience. Ironically, the great-great-grandson of Enoch was Noah. Think about that. Because then we have these words recorded in Genesis 6, verse 9. This is genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. His great-great-grandfather Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Why is that significant? Because you know what's about to happen in Genesis 6. God has had enough. Sin has taken over again. The spiritual war is being won by the evil side. Men's hearts, thoughts were evil continuously. Now folks, there is a lot of evil that goes on. The things that are happening to children in this world, the things that children are growing up learning and having questions about, and parents are making decisions for them about their anatomy before they can even think, that kind of stuff is evil. But it's not every man. Every man's thoughts in Noah's day were that evil. But Noah. But Noah. Verse 22 of Genesis 6, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. That's very, very important verse when it comes to walking in obedience. Thus Noah did according to all, he didn't leave anything out, God had commanded him. God told Noah to build a boat. Noah built a boat. God gave Noah specific directions on the size and the shape of the boat. Noah followed every detail God gave him. If Noah does not follow every detail and use the materials that God gave him to use, or told him to use, Noah sinks with the rest of the population of the world. The ark does not float. We're likely not here today because we all came from Noah. But at the end of the day, Noah did all God commanded him. So he did. He walked with God by obedience. Have you ever walked a puppy? Not a lot of fun. That... Got me an echo over there. There's a puppy. As a puppy, they just get tired of walking, so they just sit down. So then you're dragging them. And they're biting the leash. And they don't want it anymore. And they're doing everything. And by the end of it, you're like just pulling them, you know, and they're like, you know, rolling like this. God's not going to drag us. He's going to allow us to get all tangled up in that leash if we want to, because it's a choice. He wants us to walk. And He wants us to obey. But it's our choice. We need to walk in obedience to worship. Nadab and Abihu is about as good as an example as you can use. Strange fire. They offer fire. How about that? You ever thought of it that way? Nadab and Abihu did what God told them to do. They just didn't follow the details. So God burned them up. When it comes to walking in obedience, we got to walk with God to worship the way He told us to worship. We've got to walk with God to repentance. We've got to walk with God to the baptistry. Once we get out of that water and we have that newness of life, we've got to walk where God leads us. When we decide to walk with God, we need to be like that child who takes their father's hand before they cross a busy street. The child doesn't know all the rules of the highway, but he knows he'll be safe as long as he holds the Father's hand. I don't know where your walk will lead you. And I don't know all the dangers that lie there. But if you hold the Father's hand, everything will be okay. Thirdly, this morning, when it comes to our walk, we got to walk by faith. In Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Have you noticed the trend in all the characters we've used? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abram was told to walk with God. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, there's that chapter again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How about that? Noah, it was hard. Build this boat and build it this length and build it this way with this material. It was hard, but God told him exactly what he was supposed to do. It was hard, but as long as he followed the plan, the blueprint, it was going to be all right. And he did, and I'm thankful he did. But Abram, I want you to walk with me. And I want you to leave where you're from and go to this land of inheritance. But guess what? You don't know where you're going. But you know what Abram did, who became Abraham? He did it exactly the way he was supposed to. Walking with God is a walk of faith. If you're going to walk with God, you might as well get ready. There's going to be some rough roads and some steep climbs. Sometimes you just have to grit your teeth and step out in pure faith. But we can always count on God to give us strength, to give us enough light to see the next step that we need to take to be pleasing to Him. Walk with God by choice. Walk with God by obedience. Walk with God by faith. And finally this morning, we got to walk with our whole heart. David recorded Psalm 119. Have you heard that reference this year before? Remember Psalm 119, 105 is our theme verse. But that entire chapter, I started out this year preaching on parts of that chapter. It's a long chapter. But I want to read with you the first 10 verses. David's words, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Walking is good for the heart, the doctor would say. Walking with God is best for the heart. David walked with God. Remember, he was a man after his own heart. Did David mess up? Sure he did. I can relate to David, can't you? I can relate to Paul. I want to do what's right. But oftentimes, I do what I hate. I want to walk with God and be a man after his own heart. But I lust over things I don't have. The beautiful thing about it, even though David filled up with garbage and it slowed the walk down, he had a good friend. That good friend told him a story. That good friend chose an awesome way to let him know you're in error. And David repented. He made a choice. Today, I don't know where your hearts are. I don't know how much faith you have. I don't know if you've been obedient or not. And I don't know what choice you're going to make. But today, if you strive to walk with God, you're not going to do it perfectly. I do not want anyone to leave here thinking that your walk will be perfect. I'm also not justifying slipping off the path. In John chapter 8, Jesus encountered a woman caught in the very act of adultery. Men came there to stone her to death. Jesus said, let he is without sin cast the first stone. So Jesus stood there with the woman. I'm sure she was trembling. She may have been shaking. She may not have had any clothes on for all I know. But she stood there before Jesus Christ and he said, woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. You see, today, folks, I can't say that to you. Only Jesus Christ can. Because He is the only one who has the authority to release you of your sins. Today, if your walk hasn't been what it needs to be, I'm not going to throw a stone at you. Nor is anyone else here. We just want you to come to the one who can release you of your sins. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.